The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to the Crossman Conversation, CEO Edition, offering insights, wisdom, and counsel from the most respected CEOs. Here is the host of the Crossman Conversation, CEO Edition, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation, the CEO Edition. And I've got my friend here today with me, Betsy Garner Eckbert, President and CEO of the Winter Park Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for being here with us today.
It's a pleasure, John. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, you are leading, you're CEO yourself, and you're leading in a space where you have lots of CEOs that you're interacting with every day. So let me first just ask you this, just big picture, how are things at the Winter Park Chamber?
Oh, they're great. We're celebrating our centennial year, which means we were founded in 1923.
Wow.
And organized when the edges of Winter Park were a wilderness. And so we've been thriving for 100 years, and we have an awful lot to be proud of, not least as the robustness of our economy and the quality of life in Winter Park.
That's awesome. If somebody is listening, see, we have listeners all across the country, and they're in, you know, Sacramento, or they're in St. Louis or something like that, and they're thinking, why would I want to move my business and be a CEO of Winter Park? What would you tell them?
Well, it's a fertile climate for opportunity, but it's also a beautiful place to live. We have a high value on art and culture. So we have this kind of small town feel, but a very high level of sophistication there. So one of the interesting things we learned during COVID is that our 9 square miles and hosts over $4 billion a year economy. And so we've got an awful lot of activity in financial services and professional services. It's a great place to start and grow a business. We have gorgeous weather and a very, very high quality of life. So it makes sense.
When my parents were retiring and they were looking to move, my mom said something interesting. She said, I want to move into a community where people read books. I thought that was just an interesting way to define it. And so I kind of hear you saying it's like, hey, this is a place that has small town feel into this community, but you could see world-class art. You could be in a world-class CEO level course at Rollins College. Like, that's what you're talking about, correct?
Yeah, we have a graduate program here that's recognized across the country at the Kremer Graduate School of Business at Rollins. And then I love what your mom said about books. We've built a cathedral to books that opened last year, which is our library and event center designed by Sir David Ajay, who's one of the world's leading architects, and built something that democratizes learning and is a pretty inspirational place for both collaboration and learning. And I know that we're hosting a state-of-the-art library here in Winter Park, which just goes to show you what's happening here.
That's pretty awesome. What do you think that communities outside of Winter Park could learn from? Like, so if somebody's hearing this and they're like, well, I'm not going to move from my blank town to Winter Park, but I want to make my place here in Ohio, where they're listening, better. What's the secret sauce that they need to be thinking about?
Think big. So I think like even though we're a small town, we don't limit ourselves in the way we think. We create opportunities and collaborations that go way beyond the scope of our actual physical boundaries of Winter Park. And when we conceived of building a library, for example, we went out and engaged the leading architect who's reimagining what libraries can be. And so I think it's challenging yourself to think in a sophisticated way, even though what you're working with looks and feels like Mayberry, it could actually work and feel like New York if it needs to as well, which I think is just a matter of vision. And I think that's a really important thing for CEOs to focus on at all times is vision.
Well, I like that a lot. You know, in my world, you know, I do a lot of retail world. You know, when I describe Park Avenue, first off, it's the best retail experience in our community, period. And I don't have any problem saying that. I've said that for 20 years. It's my favorite experience. Like where I want to do my Christmas shopping or where I just want to stroll. That's what I want to do. The second part of that is I define that as high street retail, which is, you know that because you've got some background in London. And so you get that. And I love the fact that I can say that term in real estate conferences around the world and have people look puzzled. And I say it to my friend Betsy, who is CEO of Winter Park Chamber. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, high street retail is the operative retail environment in London, which is where I used to live. And it's really about critical mass, high street retail. It's about an elevated experience, but it's also about critical mass. So when you think about Park Avenue, the ingredients that make Park Avenue work is that we've got green space, which attracts people there, and you've got the pedestrian is king, and you've got mixed use real estate there. So people actually live, work, shop, and dine there. And so that buzz of the diversity of the activity is kind of what some of the secret sauce is. And then again, making sure it's a pedestrian friendly, human scaled experience. Right. I think that's a key part of that as well.
Years ago, and Betsy, don't have to respond to this, but just as an experience, like human experience I had as a consultant, I had these people in College Park were asking me, and they were like, well, when we want to be Park Avenue Winter Park. And I was like, guys, you realize that it goes from a world-class museum and then goes down and dead ends into a beautiful world-class college. You guys go from a high school into the Salvation Army. And I was like, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm like, but that's not a proper comparison, right? Or Baldwin Park, where I live, which I love, there were some people early on like this, I say Orlando people, like this needs to be like Winter Park. And I'm like, guys, no, it doesn't. This is a neighborhood, not the same thing. So it really has very specific elements and then it's leveraged those elements well.
But I think in College Park, the automobile is king. You're looking at a four-lane, at a four-lane thoroughfare, and you're looking at something that was built at the peak of the sex appeal of the automobile.
Right,
so that
right.
I think that was something that was modern for its time.
Sure.
And I think Baldwin Park has wildly achieved in terms of building something pedestrian scale there. And that's why you see residential real estate values sometimes at the price per square foot level that are equivalent to Winter Park because they've done such a great job prioritizing the pedestrian in Baldwin Park.
Gotcha. But they're not you. They're just different. What I'm trying to say, they're both wonderful. Right. And I used to live in College Park in Baldwin Park. I'm just saying that there's a uniqueness to it and it's hard to replicate.
There's a patina and there's an organic development to Park Avenue that we don't see in Florida very often. I think that's what makes it special.
Well, and I'll add this on it. A lot of people who know me know that a big part of my life has been hiring interns and mentoring kids at college to do a lot of that work. The number one most a number of interns I've ever hired from any university is actually Rollins College, the MBA program. And I have seen so much talent come out there. And I always tell people, like they're asking me in general, what program I recommend, it's that Rollins MBA program.
Well, I couldn't agree more. We get a lot of our own talent at my office from Rollins, both undergrad and at the MBA program. And my doors are consistently blown off by the creativity, the resourcefulness, the work ethic. The diversity of background of those students is extremely impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, that it's funny with that program, the MBA program, you know, the first year is really hard. The second year is a little bit loose. And I mean, I've had people in that second year work like you wouldn't believe and done some amazing things. And then the trajectory, like when they're the first year out, they're leading like instantaneously, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. I hired an MBA graduate from Crummer a little over a year ago, and pretty much everything she touches turns to gold. She's just an incredibly strategic thinker, and she's only 24 years old, but thinks like she's a 45-year-old. It's amazing what we've gotten out of Rollins for our own use as well. So I agree with that.
I need to start thinking like a 45-year-old.
Yeah, I know, me too. That would mean I'm aging myself down somewhat.
All right, I want to talk a little bit more about you, the person as it relates to CEOs. Like, you sit in a unique chair because you yourself are CEO and then you're talking to CEO. So aside from Winter Park, we'll put that on the side for a second. What advice do you have to CEOs? Like just anywhere in the country, someone's like, gosh, Betsy, your whole career, what you're doing. And let's just say they're 30 and they're trying to ramp up. What do you say? Gosh, these businesses are crushing because their CEO is doing blank. What is it?
So I think the role of CEO is really one that requires more focus than any other role in the org chart, right? And it's easy for the CEO to think he or she should be inserting herself into PR or marketing or accounting or lots of other business functions. The reality is the CEO is responsible for three things: talent, culture, and strategy. Mm. And if you can stay focused on those three things, that means that if we're focused on the right culture, that means our people are going to be equipped to safely innovate and push the boundary of what they're capable of doing because they feel safe doing that. They feel equipped to do it. And then I think if we have the right people in the right seats, you optimize the efficacy of the organization. And then I think having the right strategy is really important, right? And that means go to the, I have a personal board of directors, go to the personal board, go to your board of directors, find out what that strategy needs to be, get that clear and stick with it. Then the other thing I would say that I found is really important is never underestimate the importance of courage. It requires an awful lot of courage to be the last person standing holding the bag, but very often that's what the job requires.
Well, you are a courageous person. I would say that about you. It's one of the things that's always struck me. And you absolutely are all the three things you said. We're going to take a quick break. I want you to stay right there, and we'll be right back here at the Crossman Conversation, the CEO Edition, with Betsy Geyer-Eckbert.
Crossmark Services is a commercial real estate firm offering a wide range of professional services, including advisory, brokerage and leasing, investing, and property management. Our staff comprises the industry's most seasoned professionals who possess the needed knowledge in real estate investments, analysis, and portfolio management to drive growth. See how Crossmark can work for you. That's crossmarkservices.com.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
We're back here at the Crossman Conversation, the CEO Edition. This is John Crossman with my guest, my friend, and somebody I really admire, Betsy Geyer-Eckbert, who's the president and CEO of the Winter Park Chamber of Commerce. And you were just talking about attributes of what makes a great CEO. And you said courage. Can you just unpack that a little bit more? Like, what does that mean to you to be a courageous leader?
You'd be surprised how often... I think making sure that you have high fidelity to talent, culture, and strategy requires courage. And so if I think about talent and I think about we run 110 events and programs a year. And so naturally, when the pandemic came upon us, I thought, how are we going to get money in here if live events are something that we have as a bread and butter item? Similarly, I don't know, but I think about a third of my workforce need their paycheck from me to pay their mortgage or their rent. And I went to my board and I said, please don't ask me to furlough anyone. And I did that in the first week of COVID. And I said, you've got to give us a chance to be what this community needs right now. And more importantly, we needed to take care of our people, because putting them back online after furloughing people was going to be disruptive to our business. And so I didn't know if I could make good on those things I asked my board to trust me to do. But I had to stake the bet on behalf of my employees, because I am responsible for talent. I'm responsible for attracting them, retaining them, and nurturing them. And so ended up being wildly successful as a result of that strategy. We converted all of our programs to virtual programs. We ended up finishing the year in the black. We ended up providing a tremendous amount of value for our community in terms of convocation and education during COVID, and people saw us as a trusted community partner during a crisis. The analog to which could have been, we're absent at your greatest period of need. We've furloughed everybody except for the CEO and a receptionist, and your Chamber of Commerce, which you needed most right now, isn't here. And so I think having the courage to go to your direct report, which in my case is a board of directors, and say, I need you to bet on cash flowing payroll, because I think it's the right thing to do, could have been a career ending thing for me. And I was okay with that, because I take very seriously that talent means going all the way with talent and looking after talent and making sure that we don't take a short view of what being partnered with our talent looks like.
They bet on you. They bet on you, right?
Right.
That was about, you had to have belief and confidence in yourself, you know,
and also my team
and your team, of course, and your team. But, you know, they had that, you're the captain of the ship, you know, that's a thing. Right. So let me say this. I, in my 30 years of business, I've been involved in different chambers, and honestly, none of them have really matched me well, with the exception of yours. That's true.
Thank you.
And the differences with you is I feel really confident that, man, if I'm in a bad place and I need to hunker down and I need help, and I don't bother you, you know, I bother you very seldomly, but when I do, it's because like I need help. But I feel like when I do, you will jump in and help me solve that problem. And that's a big deal. And so some other chambers out there are more kind of networking-ish, and that's okay. But I feel like, really feel like you have a deep passion for problem solving for your members.
Yeah, we always talk at the staff and board level about what doesn't get done if we're not here. And, you know, to some degree, you may never have to flip that switch. And we hope that you don't have to, but it's like AAA. You know, you hope you never need AAA, but you sure as heck want your kids to have it on their car, sure, right? And so we're here to play that sweeper role that people play in soccer to make sure the ball doesn't go beyond that midfield marker, if you can help it. And make sure that well-meaning attempts to govern our city don't end up with unintended consequences for our businesses. Relationships that need to be accelerated, any kind of problem solving, that's what we're here for. I always talk about in business, algebra is my favorite form of math. We have to balance that equation, right? So if you're going to give us consideration for a membership, we have to be able to demonstrate the value that we've delivered to you. And hopefully that you feel the presence of the chamber in the way you conduct your business, knowing that if something comes down the pike saying, oh, we're now going to mandate the implementation of X, you should know that your chamber is already on top of that. And we're going to beat that down if it's not good for business in Winter Park. And so, you know, that's, I would say besides courage, loyalty is another really big thing for me. Mm-hmm. And the people that are on my team, you're on my team, good, bad, whatever. And this is what we're going to deliver to our members.
Well, you know, I think everything you've said since I've ever met you has always been brilliant until you mentioned algebra. And I don't know, that really changes. It's like you bring up kale or something. I don't know, Betsy. So let me ask you about this. So I feel like one of my greatest strengths is somebody said that one time, I'm excellent at the implementation of innovation. So I'm really good with change, right? And so you were advising me in a situation personally, you're like, hey, John, I don't know what you did to say this, but I think what you may have meant to say was like, John, that organization doesn't want to change. You're a guy that's changed. That doesn't match. Just put your energy someplace else, yep, right? So there's got to be some identify of like being self-aware and then where you plug in, right? And you have to manage like CEOs like me who are change guys and then CEOs who are probably keep it steady kind of thing. And you've got to manage all that. That's a lot of personalities. Am I right?
Yeah. We call ourselves a heterogeneous membership organization. It's a lot of stakeholders. It's a lot of competing agendas. It's a lot of think of me first. No, I want you to think of me first and me first. We try to balance all of that. Some days are easier than others. But, you know, one of the things I get a lot of value from is learning from and contributing to other business leaders. And I think that's one of the things that you should count on from your Chamber of Commerce is convening those rooms full of people who also have to make end of the line decisions that affect a lot of people, the revenue streams, the profitability. Those are keep you up at night value propositions, and we should be there for each other in those conversations. So if we've delivered that to you, then I'm grateful that we've had the opportunity to do that.
I mean, again, I don't want you thinking me first. It's just every
There's
once.
There's a lot of people to
no,
do.
No. Well, so let me let this slide, and we're going to run out of time. But, you know, one of the other words I use to describe you is you're very strong. Like, you're strong. And I love it. Like, because what I know is, like, if I need you, you come in really. Sometimes that must intimidate people, right? And I mean, I get it. And sometimes you may want to do that if you're fighting for the cup, but then sometimes you may not want that. But, like, you know, you have your title can be intimidating, right? Sometimes people just even they see the title, ooh, you know. And then so do you pull back? Do you turn it on? Do you have a sense of that? Do you see yourself as intimidating? Are you aware of that?
I'm aware of the feedback that I get that says I'm intimidating. I don't wake up in the morning and say, gosh, today, who can I intimidate? Right? Because it actually makes it harder for me
sure.
when I am intimidating. It's harder for me to do my job when I'm perceived as intimidating. So
is it real quick? I'm sorry, Betsy, but do you think it's that you're passionate and you're like, I'm doing this, and then it may come across intimidating, but you didn't mean it? Is that what it is?
Well, I know I'm passionate, and I know that I'm committed. Mm-hmm. I also know that this culture doesn't quite know what to do with a strong woman all the time, mm-hmm. so I think that could be a piece of it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that could be in the mix as well, but I really, you know, believe in quality and integrity, and if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Even if it hurts me to do it, I'm going to do it. And so I think that's just the way I approach the world. I definitely have to modulate my style sure. to diminish the effect of being intimidating to people, which I absolutely don't want to be. I think once people get to know me, they know that I'm kind of a warm and approachable person. But I do think it's every CEO's job to modulate their energy and to kind of read the room and understand how that's going to be perceived. And I definitely adjust that based on the context that I'm in.
Well, I have a strong mom. I have a mother-in-law that spent 35 years in the FBI, and I have a strong wife. And I have two daughters who have both met you, and they both really admire you. Yeah. And they both said, said that to me. So I would say this, as a father of two daughters, thank you for being who you are, because I think we need a society that's better that for having a strong woman. And I didn't say that in a woman context. I said this as a leader context, because I know that you said modulate. So, Betsy, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It was really, really helpful. And I'm proud of you, and I'm grateful for you. You're a partner to me, and I hope you'll stay in touch and let us know what we're going to do to support you in the Winter Park Chamber.
Likewise. Thanks, John. Appreciate
awesome. It. We'll take a break and be back for our final thought.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
We're back and here with the final word. And I got Mike Gill in here with me as always. Mike,
hey,
thank
buddy.
You. I appreciate it. And boy, wasn't she strong.
She is. She's a leader.
A leader, absolutely. And, you know, I loved how she talked about the importance of focus as a leader. And then she said modulate, you know, like her self-awareness. So like, you know, her passion coming on strong where you need to, but sometimes maybe pulling it back to make sure you get your point across. So both those as a leader, I thought those were great comments, right?
I think so. You know, I can give you one little thought about modulation. In music, when you modulate, you take everything a step up, usually. It usually modulates upward, sometimes downward.
Right.
But most of the time in music, modulation is stepping up to add more energy and maybe a brighter sound. So that kind of applies to what she's talking about, right?
I got that. And so you would say in that situation, it's being aware of your audience and then what you hope they're feeling.
Right.
And if for some reason the audience was going the wrong direction, you modulate.
You step up.
Right. So she's saying as a leader, you do the same thing and read the room and all that. The other thing, Mike, is like, I got to tell you, you know, I've traveled across the country looking at different, you know, areas and communities and projects. And
sure,
I think the best retail experience in America's Park Avenue.
I've heard you say that.
I love it, right? I don't know why you've heard me say this in more than one interview. I just love it. And so, you know, I'm such a fan of the city of Winter Park and all the things they do to keep such a great community. Right. And then you got Betsy and her leadership, which is helping encourage more businesses come in. And that's really important. So I'm just so grateful for the collective team there that, you know, works together and makes good things happen for the residents of Winter Park. But you know, I live in Baldwin Park. I'm not a resident, but I have now for over 30 years enjoyed those experiences, right?
Yeah. When my wife and I would visit years ago before we moved here back in the late 70s, early 80s, we would visit downtown Winter Park right there in Park Avenue, the East India Ice Cream Shop. Did you ever go there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh man, that was a favorite place.
Well, it was, my dad passed away in 04 or no, 04. Yeah, 04. And he would go there every single weekend, every single weekend. And my mom to this day, 84 years old, every single Saturday, you can find her on Park Avenue. So, you know, she gave us some real wisdom and leadership on specific points. And then she turned around and also she's doing this stuff in a very specific way in a specific community. And I will tell you, like, when you look at a company, I'll pick on a company like Sears because they don't exist anymore. You're like, how does it happen? How does a brand go down? Well, there clearly was a lack of leadership pushing it forward. Somebody might say, oh gosh, Winter Park's doing so great. Just put it on a cruise control. Nope. You have to
stay
on top of it, right?
Yeah, right.
So if people listen to this are all across the country and they're like, wow, Winter Park sounds great, what does that mean for me? Well, it means like think and focus on the resources, having a proactive chamber, having leadership in place with resources that they're getting things done.
Right.
So that's
one of my favorite expressions, John, you never coast uphill. You only coast when you're going downhill.
I tell young runners when they're running in a race, you attack the hill. When you see a hill and when running, you attack it, right?
You don't coast up that
hill. No, you do not. You got to jump at it. So that's a really good point. Really good point. Mike, I really appreciate you. So this has been the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition with our friend Betsy, who's from the Winter Park Chamber of Commerce, and Mike Gillen. As always, thanks for being here with me, my friend.
This has been the Crossman Conversation CEO Edition with your host, John Crossman. Tune in next week for another talk with an experienced CEO that will help bring clarity to your business endeavors.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.